Woke.
Tetsuo woke.
Tetsu PP wakes up. Tetsuo Shima? No. Tetsuo PP pooper.
The ultimate.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Brothers Movie Factory. I am your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of The Brothers Movie Factory.
That's Mr. Brother of The Brothers Movie Factory to you, punk.
That's Masaru to you, punk.
Holy shit. Weirdo.
My boy, Masaru.
My man, Masaru.
My man, Masaru. The brother of The Brothers Movie Factory, Mr. of the Misters, sir. With honors.
Kaneda!
You did cosplay as Kaneda at one point.
You want me to put it on?
You should. Why aren't you wearing that?
Because it's stinky.
It's stinky, it's hot.
It's hot, and it smells like chemicals.
Yeah.
But
so
I did
put that Kaneda's on, and it's like you're like a red gimp.
A red gimp?
Gimp suit.
Yeah, that's the pants. They're so goddamn tight.
Hey.
Go ahead and talk for a minute.
No, I don't want you to put it on.
I'll see ya.
God damn it. Joined with me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory, and that is Gus. So, what we do here on the podcast, before we get into it, so you can kind of figure out if you want to listen to us or not, well, guess what? You're stuck, anyways. But, we'll tell you what we're all about. So, on this podcast, what we do every week, we take a film from the past. We then watch that film and discuss on the pod what we like about the movie, what we didn't like. Gus always has a couple factoids to throw at you and information you might not have known. We then take to the factory, and the factory is where we take the film we just watched, and we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Modern booking, who would star in it, who would direct it, who would compose it, etc., etc. And then we take a little bit at the end just to kind of chit-chat, ask couple of questions, and then we move on out of here, all right? So sometimes we take a film that is animated, and instead of our factory being the usual, you know, what would that look like? What was that face?
I was trying to get a burp out, but I realized I had to look ridiculous, so I'm like stuck with that goofy fucking face laughing.
You like started to burp, and you're like, "Hey, yeah."
Bills are good.
You look like you were charging up to go Super Saiyan. But,
shit.
That's when J. Jonah Jameson popped up in Far From Home. You're like, yeah.
But yeah, occasionally we do Japanese anime.
Yeah, this is our... Tonight, we decided to do another one. This is our second animated film.
Japanese animated.
Third animated as a whole. We did G.I. Joe, which is American anime, but it's pretty Japanese, too. yes, so today, we watched probably one of the most iconic Japanese animated features of all time. Would you say most iconic or just most groundbreaking?
Both.
Maybe both,
but, you know, it's funny, like, a lot of... Okay, so, back in the day...
I guess we should say, we watched Akira.
Akira. Yeah, back in the day, this movie kind of started a resurgence of popularity for anime to Western audiences. And because back in the like 60s, there was like Astro Boy
and Gigantor
and stuff like that. But this ushered in...
Gigantor is what I call my penis.
Funny, I call mine Astro Boy.
It's going to take you to space.
Yeah.
Never watched Astro Boy.
Anywho, yeah, this started off again for the 90s. Came out in 1988. But shortly after, American audiences got glimpses of like Dragon Ball and Gundam Wing, things of that nature. And it just grew and grew and grew until the mid-90s where Toonami kicked off. And that really was able to show American audiences this just side of animation that they hadn't seen before.
And the weebs were born.
And the weebs rose.
The weebs rose to fruition.
Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
And God said, the weebs will inherit the earth.
If you show the anime, weebs will come.
Yes.
So, yeah, it like developed a cult following in the late 90s into the early 2000s, I would say. But now here we sit in 2019. Anime is more popular than ever. It's ushering in all kinds of...
I would say, yeah, it's probably at like its peak popularity.
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah. And it's not something you like necessarily hide anymore.
No. No, I mean, like, my friend group is, like, very critical of it for whatever reason. I have no clue. They've never been able to actually give me a legitimate, like, a legitimate one. They have, all my friends that dislike anime are always like, oh, you have your, all these, they basically give me the most stereotypical examples of why they don't like it. I'm like, but it's so much more than that. Yeah. And then, like, I was having a conversation with someone the other day, and I was explaining My Hero Academia, and they're like, yeah, that sounds pretty stupid. I'm like, why? If it was live action, it'd be just like the X-Men and the Avengers molded into one. That's literally like
only better.
Yeah, I'm like it's great. And they're like, I don't know, it sounds like really ridiculous and stupid. I'm like, you're just being an idiot.
They're just saying no to say no.
Yeah.
Sort of the
now,
basic concept of it.
Well, now it's just I think the reason anime is so popular now is that it's very accessible. Not only is there things like Crunchyroll and Funimation. That is making it easier for, I think there's one other VRV or something there, but it's easy for you to gain access to them. But also you have like, you know, rise in popularity in stores like your GameStop's, Hot Topics, and stores that have like merchandise and, you know, collectibles of these characters. And I think it did definitely start like Akira really kicked off this kind of modern boom that we see now, but then you have your shows, like you said, Dragon Ball Z, like your Naruto, One Piece, Bleach was big for a long time, like those ones that really kicked off, but now like My Hero Academia is huge,
yeah.
To the point where like they've released that movie, Two Heroes, and now they're releasing another one soon, and the Dragon Ball Z movies are doing great, and all these films,
Super, please.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Super, but yeah, it all kind of can be traced back to Akira, and I would say that Akira being such a big success is one of the great reasons why we get like Studio Ghibli films in America and Western audiences. So yeah, it's very influential and groundbreaking.
And also to answer your question, what you asked, is it seen as one of the most popular animes? It depends. Yes, but I was going to say like now in today's world where it's more popular than ever, anime in general, a lot of people don't necessarily know Akira.
Oh, it's so good.
Hasn't fallen into the radar yet.
And what's funny though is 1988, that movie came out. It hasn't aged a day.
Shit, no.
Like you watch it and you're like, this looks better than some animation I've seen now.
Yep.
So yeah, no, it hasn't aged a day. It looks great. The only gripe I've ever had with this film is some of the voice acting feels slightly wooden in spots. Like the kids. The kids are kind of rough. But I think they're kind of supposed to be that way.
Maybe.
But they're a little like...
I've never seen any other dub.
Is there another dub?
I think... there is one other one, yeah. There's the original dub. I can't remember who that was through. But
This is Funimation, right?
No. Pioneer ended up buying it in the rights to Akira in the early 2000s, and they did their own dub, but there was an original American dub for the 80s, and that's the one where they called him like Kaneda as opposed to Kaneda
before anyone knew how to say names.
Yeah,
Lupin.
Yeah, right. Kaneda and Tetsuo, I guess that's right too.
Kakercock.
So yeah, it I see what you're coming, where you're coming from there.
It's just like wooden, like the pacing of their wording and stuff. Hey, you're a cretin. You're like, yeesh. He starts laughing. I'm like, did you just call me cretin?
That's a good burn, though.
That's a good burn.
Put that in your back pocket.
Yeah, one of these days, someone's going to burn the fuck out of me, and I'm gonna be like, you're a cretin. I'd be like, fuck. Never thought of it that way.
And you go to walk away, and you're like, weirdo.
Yeah.
Got him.
Beaten. Come at me now.
But yeah, it's it's hard to explain because, like, if they were to do a more accurate dub now of Akira, I'm so nostalgic with this movie.
Oh, yeah, no.
I don't know if I'd like it as much. I'm so used to these voices.
They'd bring in, like...
the pacing, as you were putting
it. They'd bring in, like, all their big stars now, probably, for, like, voice acting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, you could get, like, Chris Sabat in there to play the general. That just...
You were calling it all night.
It's not going to change anything. But then they'd get, like, Billy Bob Thornton to play, like... Kaneda. You got me screwed up when you were saying
Kaneda. Maybe they
sounds
could
like a Street Fighter.
They could correct some things. There's a character in this film we watched tonight named Miyoko. Doesn't talk much. He's more of a cameo.
Big afro on
that gentleman, and he's got like a bunch of followers and stuff. And he's basically calling for the return of Akira. And not much to this movie.
No,
just
you don't even.
In the background.
You don't even need to see him.
No.
Really. Be cut from the film, wouldn't matter.
And that's part of the problem because something got lost in translation. I am calling him he because it is a male voice actor. His name's Miyoko. But in the original source material, the manga that this film is based on, that character's name is Lady Miyoko.
Lady Eboshi.
Yeah. And is a huge part of the manga. As opposed to just a cameo.
Yeah. So, real quick, why don't you go through real quick, as shortly as you can, what is Akira about, really? Like, what's the basis, the start, where we start, yeah. And what's the premise of it?
Well, the genre itself would be, like, post-apocalyptic cyberpunk.
Yeah, which is kind of neat. That's a neat, like, idea. Because it's like, there was this big war, like, World War III kicked off.
And that's what really kicks off this movie, is an explosion that destroys Tokyo, leaving it in rubble. And our story takes place 31 years later.
In 2019, coincidentally.
How about? In Neo-Tokyo, where the city is terrorized by biker gangs, and it's in shambles, and the military is corrupt, and they're struggling to keep things in order, and just corrupt bureaucrats are ruling things, and it's just chaos.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, though, that it's like this apocalyptic take, but instead of it being like desert and, you know, nuclear fallout, and like you've seen in like Book of Eli and movie Mad Max movies of that nature, this is like they were able to rebuild in a sense. It's almost more like Blade Runner-esque.
Oh, yeah. Definitely inspirations from Blade Runner. Or things like that, Dark City, what else did I see? Like City of Lost Children.
Mos Eisley.
What?
Die Hard. No, that's not one.
good pull. But I also wonder, I don't want to deviate from the plot because I didn't get to say it fully, but the manga was started in 1982. Blade Runner came out in 1982.
So you're telling me Ridley Scott's full of shit.
I knew that's what you want to say, but maybe Katsuhiro Otomo is full of shit.
Side note here. I was flipping through Amazon Prime today, and I saw Man on the High Castle, which I've wanted to watch for a while, because like, what would happen if like Nazi Germany won and took over America and stuff. But then I saw it was like produced by Ridley Scott. I'm like, nope.
Next.
On the list. Anyways, Ridley Scott full of shit. Continue.
So, the story takes place in this setting. Post-apocalyptic Neo-Tokyo. Biker gangs are running rampant and whatnot. And it's complicated because there's so much going on in the story. But, and it's bare bones. The military is doing experiments on psychic children.
Yeah. Not a lot is really given to you.
And, during a motorcycle accident, one of the members of this biker gang, led by Kaneda, Tetsuo Shima, is taken by the military, and his latent psychic abilities are awoken.
Woke!
Tetsuo woke.
Stay
woke.
Tetsu pee-pee. Wakes up. Tetsuo Shima? No. Tetsuo... Pee-pee. Tetsuo pee-pee pooper.
The ultimate.
The control.
So now Tetsuo is learning to control his growing powers, but he is tormented in his mind by the visions of a boy named Akira.
It's a puberty thing. We've all been there.
Yes.
Yeah. And we're dealing with growing and
showing.
Showing.
So these other psychic children are trying to stop Tetsuo from getting out of control. The military is trying to capture him too, so he doesn't cause further damage. There's a rebellion rising, trying to take down the military.
Like just you like talking about it, I'm like, I'm tired. There's a lot going on.
And then the Kaneda's biker gang and his their friends are trying to get their buddy back, their buddy guy.
Buddies.
Yeah, it's just one of those stories of all these different groups and side subplot stories all coming together by the end, literally.
Yeah. Avengers style.
Bigger.
The movie kicked off, and you were like, can you imagine never watching an anime and this being the first anime you watch? And I was like, well, coincidentally, my friend Pork, as his nickname, my friend Pork, this was the first anime he ever watched. I almost was like, let's give Pork a call here and see what he has to say about Akira.
But he wouldn't answer.
He wouldn't answer properly. He'd be like, it was okay. It was good.
Yeah.
But no, at the end of it, we watched that, and then I think I got him semi into, he watched Attack on Titan and things like that because this movie kicked off a certain urge. I mean, he liked it because it is, you watch this movie, Akira, and a lot of people, I think, have this idea in their head that anime, because it's animated, is more childish, kiddish. I mean, I remember a couple times when I was watching this with Pork, he was like, almost like in a sense appalled. Like he like verbally was like, oh my God. Because there's some moments you're like, oh, God. Like, I remember when Tetsuo and Kaori steal the bike, and there's, like, the scene with the biker gang's beating him up, and some bad stuff's about to go down. And he was like, I don't like this. This isn't good. I'm like, yeah. But it's animated.
It's rough.
Yeah. And then when Kaori, coincidentally, spoilers here, everyone, spoilers, again, spoilers. When she dies, I remember he like literally like covered his face. He's like, "Oh my God!" Like, it's pretty rough. Yeah. She just like
she gets mushed. Real
she's big. Like mushed and blood's gurgling. He's like, "Cowdy's dying." I'm like, "She's dead."
Yeah. That it is interesting because this is also that I can think of. This is the first Japanese animated film that I saw that was also like heavy R, and. It was definitely different than what I was used to. I was really used to like Studio Ghibli films, Kiki's
You're
Delivery
like, I
Service.
I thought I was watching a family film. Yeah. You're like those three, that mom and her two kids that walked into Watchmen when we were going to see Watchmen. And she's like, I thought this was a superhero movie like 2.5 hours in.
It is.
Like, it is. Just not for the kids.
Not for the kids.
You're like, the penis didn't give that away.
Yeah. It's all natural. I remember the first time I watched this movie, and, it was one of those, I was young, and I was,
how old were you when you first saw this?
17, 18. Okay. I remember we rented it from the public library.
Oh, great place to have it.
Yeah.
It's strange.
And that's where I saw a lot of animes for the first time.
Yeah, it's weird that, because I think they got all theirs, like, donated.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just. Odd, there's probably some family somewhere just giving all those there.
I saw that one for the first time, Porco Rosso, time I watched it, rented that from the library.
I don't
know
why, I just remember you getting Green Mile from there, too.
Sweet. I rented Akira from there often because I really liked that movie. And I'll ask that question to you after we kind of get into the plot a little bit more, because you, right away, you said, I was explaining the plot, and you're like, I'm tired.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. And, there's a lot to be said about this film, but what makes it good? You said it's a great movie. Why?
Well, part of it is the animation, because like that's part of like Ghibli's charm. That's the word. Is that Ghibli has this like animation style to it, and people always say like I don't know if you've ever seen like Legend of Zelda, but Ghibli style, and they'll show like you know, it's like, do they have like their own art style? The art in this film and the direction works really, really well, to the point where it's aged well. You can watch all these animated movies that we've talked about before, all these Ghibli movies, Princess Mononoke and Whisper of the Heart and et cetera. This movie ages well. You can watch it, and because it takes place in the future, and even, you know, it's 2019 and that, and the technology they have is a lot more advanced than what we have now. We don't have laser guns like they did.
Are you sure?
Maybe. Area 51, we're going to storm it. Find out. But, it, you know, if you take out just the years, like, because you don't need the years technically. They're unnecessary to the plot. The film holds up. It could be at any point in time, really. It's a classic story of, like, the runt of the group who's been put down time and time again. He's always trying to prove himself, and then his, like, older friend, basically a bigger brother to him, is always looking out for him, but he kind of, like, takes that as a challenge. Like, he's trying to meet him and exceed him at the same time, and when all of a sudden he gains this power, like, great power comes great responsibility. He didn't have an Uncle Ben there to go, Tatsuo. Peter. So that's like the story holds up. The style, the animation holds up. It all holds up to the modern day setting. Mm-hmm. So that's like the first part. Like on a technical aspect, everything still works. Then it's like storytelling, how it just flows. I mean, the movie's long.
So it's 2 hours on the money.
Yeah. It just flows like really, really quick. If everything is pieced together well, because it is confusing.
It's a lot of information.
There's a lot of information
thrown at you,
and you almost have to watch it, I would say, twice to really get everything to understand it. Because there's even things like there's a part where like a freedom fighter pulls a grenade pin and he's gonna like suicide bomb a whole group of people.
Bonsai bomb.
But the bomb doesn't go off, and they tackle him and beat him up, and then like 5 minutes pass. And then they're outside, the characters are outside, and all of a sudden an explosion goes off in, and you're like, it never clicked with me until like 2 times ago watching it. I'm like, oh, the bomb blew up. Yeah. I get it now. Like, it finally blew up.
I would say this movie requires multiple viewing just because there's a lot to be said. It is an artistic piece, and there's a deep meaning, a lot of symbolism, things like that. But just the information they do spew at you is a lot to take in. There's that scene. There's a scene in particular where two of our leads, Kaneda and Kay, they are in a prison. And she is explaining her theory on what Akira is, basically, what it means to have that power. And it's like, we as human beings, we have thoughts, we have memories, we can build things, we create. What if those abilities are given to an amoeba, something that just absorbs and adapts to whatever's around it? Like, what would that mean? What would that do? But then she explains deeper into that, like, the energy that's used to do all these things are, like, where does that come from? What is the energy that is made in thought and memory? Where's the energy in memories and stuff? And it's like, that's what Akira is. Like, maybe we all have that inside us.
Because maybe it's already begun.
Holy fuck.
Hell. Yeah, and even the ending of this film is like a 2001 Space Odyssey ending. You're like, what the hell is going on? Like, why aren't you finishing your sentences? There's like phrases that it ends with, and you're like, ah! You feel like Snape when he's like holding the curtains back. Like,
yeah. There's a lot to take in with this film, and it does take multiple viewings, if you ask me, or maybe further reading, research, because it's a multi-layered film.
Yeah, no, for sure. And not to really, like, spoil, I would say there's going to be some spoilers here.
Yeah,
throughout.
We already started.
Well, yeah, but Cowdy. I'm going to say I'm about to get into some bigger spoilers here, because I do want to talk about, like, the part where Tetsuo really finds his powers, and he's flourishing and up until the end. So, spoilers, if you haven't seen Akira and you want to watch it, I would skip this part. I don't know when. Just keep skipping through. Stop it. Watch it. Come back to it. It's on Funimation. If anyone's interested in Akira, it is on Funimation for free. So,
or just buy the damn thing.
I think you can watch it with ads on Funimation for free, and then you might need a membership. However, yeah, or just buy it. It's like $15 at Best Buy and Walmart. So that's like where the movie really kicks off, I always felt. It's like when Tetsuo really starts experimenting with his powers. But it's so gut-wrenching to me because he like goes like 0 to 100 so quick. Mm-hmm. Like he breaks out of his room and like the doctors are there and they're like, oh, let's get you another room. And they're like, what happened? It looks like a tornado blew up his room. And he just fucking blows all of them up like out of nowhere. And you see like their hands dangling and like they literally explode. You're like, yeah. Jesus.
It's like, all in just like a...
Yeah, he just does it. And it was like no, there was no rhyme or reason to it, just mm-hmm. that he could. And that's kind of like what you were saying with like, what if you gave these powers to an amoeba? He was like, an amoeba is smaller than a human on a fundamental level. So like, he was like the runt of the group. He never really had power. But he was kind of had like a, for lack of a better term, like a little man syndrome. He wanted to prove his worth. He wanted to show that he was strong.
Why are you always trying to save me?
Yeah.
And that's, take care of myself.
That's shown from the beginning. And now he has all this power. Mm-hmm. So it's like going to his head, literally.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just starts. I mean, the motherfucker puts on a cape. You don't put on a cape unless you know. Unless you know you're really fucking strong.
Yeah, he... It happens throughout. They don't verbally say it. It's just an observed thing that you take in. That his abilities, right from the get-go, are too much for him to handle, mentally and physically.
He doesn't even understand his powers. No. There's a scene where he, like, teleports outside.
Yeah.
And he's like, I can do this too? And he just starts, like, crazy laughing. It's like, you don't even know what you can do, because he doesn't do it again. He's just walking the rest of the time. I'm like, you can teleport. He flies into space at one point.
Yeah.
I'm like, why are you destroying shit? Why don't you just go be a superhero and make money or some shit?
And even the young ESPers, the Espers, the children. And that's another thing. There's these psychic children who...
Is that what Espers stands for?
ESP.
ESPers.
ESPers.
Holy
Espers.
Shit. I need to watch it again.
Yeah. They look like these little Raisinette kids. There's
yeah.
Little wrinkly babies.
Little Benjamin Buttons everywhere.
Yeah. They even say, like, that's why adults shouldn't have this power, because they'll use it wrong. And if you look at... There's a... I'm trying to put these into words. There's a shot of the energy levels. They can measure Tetsuo's energy levels, and they are like spiking up in a circular motion, where when they mirror it over Akira's is a dome.
Yeah.
So going down, Tetsuo's going up. So they're like opposites. Whereas Tetsuo's power,
I never picked up on that.
Yeah, Tetsuo's power was like ultimate. And Tetsuo's power at ultimate are just the exact opposites. It's shown that it's like a visual symbolism that power can be used the right way or the wrong way.
See, I always took it as I always thought it was like his was spiking up, and it would eventually form a.
No, it's like it's just like the opposite.
I gotcha.
It's like what's good, like the dome, and then it hits
but
the
I
ground.
Thought, see,
what's
I always took it that, like Akira basically did the same thing Tetsuo did. Like he like freaked out and got loose and blew up.
Yeah, but.
But he wasn't using it the right way.
But he lived. He used it to like save his friends.
I'm like, did a great fucking job at that, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, they got all old and wrinkly, and they're all bedridden except for Takashi.
Because they experimented on him.
Yeah, true.
In the movie, anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot to take in with this movie. Has a lot, like I said, it's like post-apocalyptic setting, psychic children, biker gangs, militaries gone awry, rebellions. And an epic showdown between man and Superman.
Yeah, see, big time.
Yeah.
The ending is great. And
a lot of yelling.
A lot of yelling, a lot of screaming names. But, man, the ending. Like, that's the thing, the visuals. Like, I'm telling you, the visuals are just so, like, they're just state-of-the-art. They work so well. And I know that,
state-of-the-art.
Well, it's like... that's another
it
reason
still
this
feels
film
fresh and new.
Is another reason this film was groundbreaking is because like the animation has never been like this clean.
Mm. Oh yeah,
it's like
I think still to this day has the most hand drawn shots in a film.
I would believe it.
I think so.
It's like there's no like choppiness to it. It's like pretty.
It's all hand drawn.
Yeah, that's another thing to respect about it. Holy hell! I mean, like the entire film, there's a lot of explosions. blood. There's a Saving Private Ryan scene where guts are falling out of stomachs.
And that shot there sticks with me always. I even tried to mimic it in my own film, where Tetsuo's brain is just about to jump out of his head because he can't handle these new psychic abilities waking in his mind. And he sees his intestines fall out of his stomach, out of his shirt and out of his stomach onto the ground. And he like quickly grabs and picks them up. But you as the audience, you see what he sees, but then you see what everyone else sees and there's nothing there.
Yeah.
He's just picking up nothing. It's just all in his head. Just really cool imagery.
It's very intense. The film is so good, and that's what always bothers me with, because I knew when we were going to watch Akira, I knew that we'd get into like a semi-anime discussion. That's what bothers me about anime, is it's like, sure, there are tropes, but there's tropes in every film. There's tropes in superhero films. There's big time tropes in horror films. So like, if you treat it more, less like the fact that it's animated, don't even pay attention to that fact, and just treat it like it's a genre. Like, treat it like it's going to have its own tropes. It's going to have tropes like any other film, and just enjoy it like any other film. Because this is adult as adult can get. I mean, it's pretty rough. I can't even tell you the first time I watched it. I know I can tell you the last three times I watched it, which I've watched it probably four or five times in my life. But that...
Is that it?
Yeah, I think four times. I think the first time I obviously didn't understand it. Third time, watched it with you, drank some sake.
We
got tanked on sake and ate
that
some.
Ending, we're just like,
I think that was that. I don't know if you, I think you fell asleep for the ending.
No.
Or you didn't remember the ending.
No, I remember that. Okay. I was awake for that one.
Water. Then I watched it with my friend Pork, and now we're here tonight. We watched it again, and it's just so good.
Good. I want to just touch on the end of this film, and then I'll do some comparisons to the manga that it's based on, and just some extra information. The end of this film is insane. So Tetsuo, with his like ultra powers, finds this Akira that he's been looking for, but turns out Akira has been dead for some time, and they were just experimenting on his bits,
his jigglets.
Yeah, and So now...
Did you say jigglets?
Yeah.
I did.
So now Tetsuo is trying to control his abilities that are literally leaping out of his body, and he enters an epic fight between his friend Kaneda, and through an epic showdown, Tetsuo loses his fucking arm, and he gets a robot arm, like a true villain.
He gets blasted by a fucking satellite twice.
And lives.
He gets blasted like point blank by a satellite and loses just an arm.
That's all that matters.
Still alive.
But ultimately, and you can't encompass how epic this finale is in words.
Because you can't even understand it.
No.
Yeah, it's like, I was trying to explain it to our father last night, and I was like, just the end, like, he basically loses control, but, like, I couldn't say, like, he basically loses control and turns into a giant baby.
A giant
baby with skin for hands and hands for feet and fingernails growing out of his foot.
Yeah. And, that's what happens, really, is, like, his energy gets so immense that it mutates him. And he just turns into a giant, globulous, exploding baby.
Yeah, with, like, hands. Like, literal, like, hands.
Like, hands from his pores.
Yeah, like, coming out. Like, hands and arms reaching. And he's just yelling for help the whole time. Like, help me, Kaneda.
He can't control it. And visually, it is jaw-dropping.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, the entire time, he was so, like, prideful and, like, he wanted to prove that he could handle the power.
But he couldn't.
And then when it was too late... He wanted help, and it was past that point.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it.
And ultimately, no one can stop him other than the Espers.
Well, Akira is just going to take care of it.
Oh, it's the Espers and Akira.
Yeah, well, so. I thought my take was that Akira was just going to take him away, and the Espers were going to stay. But Kaneda gets stuck in, so Takashi goes in after him, and that's when the other two decide to go in because they could save Kaneda if all three of them were in there.
Correct. Correct. And Akira, like we said, is dead, but what about that energy we talked about earlier? The energy
Energico.
The energy from memories and things like that.
Energy from stuff that makes no sense.
Yeah. And ultimately, they save Kaneda, but it's hard to put into words. The energy that's being put out by Tetsuo is so grand that it takes the energy of Akira, Kyoko, Takashi, and Masaru.
Yeah.
Got him. And they form this giant energy ball that ultimately creates another universe.
See, they said, they always say that, he said though, see, I always thought, yeah, they created another universe, but
they went to a higher plane of existence.
Well, could you call it like a causality loop though too? Causality loop, I know that's not the full term. It might be like Einstein causality loop, but basically a causality loop is like the universe creates the thing that will create it.
Whoa.
Like, so it could be like, because he does say the scientist is looking at the energies at the very end. Mm-hmm. He's like, this symbol is the same as what it was the beginning of the universe, the creation of the universe. So what if it was like, they go back in time, create the universe, and then the universe creates them. And it's just a constant.
Whoa,
loop.
That's deep.
I got that from Family Guy.
Yeah.
I did, actually. I'm not lying.
Were they talking about Akira?
Stewie creates the Big Bang because of his, like, time machine.
Hmm.
And he basically finds out, like, through him, like, his bloodline, he is their creation. And it's, like, a causality loop. Like, because Brian asks, like, Well, how can you create the universe if you live in it? Are you born in the universe? And it's like, it's a causality loop. Like, I created the universe, and the universe creates me, and it just keeps going in a loop. And
then, you know, this movie is not open-ended, but...
You know, this movie is based on Family Guy.
Yeah. This movie leaves it open for interpretation. Take it how you want.
Because they don't finish their sentences.
Because it's already begun.
What favor?
It could be that. It could be that they created the universe that we live in, and the causality.
That's what I kind of did take it as. Is like they create. It's like the universe created them, then they go back, create the universe, and this is the concept. Because he says, because it has already begun. The universe is already there.
Hmm.
So we ought to someday be able to. We ought to be. Because they say, I'm telling you, like, people are listening at home, wide open mouths. They're like, what the fuck are these guys talking about? One of the terms, if we don't know either, we can just speculate. But one of the terms is someday we ought to be. So if like they're going to always be in this constant loop, universe is going to create them, then maybe, that someday they'll be able to control these powers and they won't have to worry about this breakdown happening and all this shit.
Maybe.
Going to
never
shit.
Thought. Never. You might have changed my mind. Never changed thought of it like that before.
Forever.
And my dogs are hungry. So,
it's about the money. It's about sending a message.
So, a big difference. There's a lot of differences between the manga in which this movie's based on and that.
And before you go into that, I do want to ask, which is more popular, do you know? Like, do people prefer the manga or do they prefer the movie?
I don't know.
I would say the movie probably on a whole. Like, I feel like Watchmen as a movie is more... No, as a book. Yeah,
Watchmen as a book is definitely more popular than the movie. I would say the movie of Akira is more popular than the manga. It's a little more... It's definitely more accessible and easier to get through because the manga is over 2,000 pages. That's a lot. And it's over 6 volumes, I think 38 issues, that spanned from 1982 to 1990.
How many pages?
Over 2,000 total. That's a lot. And
you like told me it, and in my head I'm like, 200, holy shit. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah,
he said another O.
2,000. And
a million.
So the manga concluded 2 years after this movie was made.
They
think of that.
They reverse. No, they didn't reverse. They fucking Game of Thrones it.
Kinda. Only it's made by the same guy. So the gentleman who wrote the manga also wrote and directed the film,
which is
Katsuhiro Otomo.
That's how a lot of things should be.
And he, like, they are two totally different things, honestly. They have the same messages, but the events are very different. Characters are very different. And the film, the way it goes and concludes, is roughly halfway through the book.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, can I ask you something with that real quick? And it's not, I mean, it'll kind of get not off topic because it is topical to this. But you, like we said, the movie and the manga are completely different. As are pretty much, you know, you see that with, I started watching a new series on YouTube. I think it's Cinefix, What's the Difference? Where they take the movies and the books and stuff. I don't think they did an Akira one. But
they did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll check that out at some point.
Cool.
I've been watching, like, the Jurassic Park ones and the Jaws ones. And that's what's funny, because I've read Jurassic Park, and I've watched the movie. I love both. Do you think that the reason, because, like, Michael Crichton, for instance, wrote the screenplay or helped co-write the screenplay for Jurassic Park, and it is different. There are differences. Now, I know that some of those are come down to technological differences and things like that, but also there are story elements that are different and character elements that are different. And same with this, I'm sure. Same with Akira, I'm sure there's character differences and maybe, you know, some characters are focused on more than others and stuff like that. Is that because of one of two things, and maybe both, but is it because they have to tell the story in a shorter time frame, so they have to find a way to break it down even smaller, so he has to find a way to tell the story more efficiently? Or is it really the creator exploring different ways of telling a story, like really stretching those creativity muscles? Because I always like to think it's that, like, no, they're not like, oh, we have to cut shit out, because, you know, if they boil down to that, then make it a TV show or make it a two-part movie or three-part movie. So I always like to think it's like them just kind of flexing their creative muscles and saying, like, can I tell this story, same story, but maybe I didn't like this in the book and now I can change it. Because like in Jurassic Park, like, Grant likes kids in the book, but in the movie, that's like one of the big arcs. He doesn't like kids, and it's like about, that's a subplot, is him like coming to love these kids, and that's fantastic. And there's elements in Akira that I like that you told me. I'm like, it's a lot different. So yeah, what do you think on that?
I think it's both of what you were saying earlier, but not like the studios, like, we have to make this tight. I think as an artist, Katsuhiro Otomo was looking at his product, his manga, his story, his epic, and he's like, I'm going to make this into a movie, but that's a different medium. Like, how am I going to tell a story differently, but giving the same message, using these characters? What can I change and manipulate, and what portrays better and differently on the screen as opposed to reading it in a book? And, he, like I said, they are almost two different things. I think it's more artistically he chose to make his two products differ.
Yeah.
So you can enjoy them differently.
Yeah.
And experience them differently. But if you're asking me what's better, because I have read the manga, it's been a few years. But Akira might be, well, I say this a lot, might be my top 10 favorite movies.
It is fantastic.
All time. It's just a deep journey, and so is the manga. And like I said, it's over 2,000 pages.
Oh, hell yeah!
And this movie is roughly concludes halfway through the manga. Just some things are a little different. In the manga, Akira is a character. He's not dead like he is in the movie. He's not the main villain of the book. He kind of is. He's very quiet, and he just basically wants to not take revenge, but just live alone. And but there is a war going on, and with the aid of Tetsuo, who is like his, what would you say?
He was like Darth Vader.
Yeah, yes. Like if Akira's the evil emperor, then Tetsuo is his Darth Vader.
Right hand man.
Yes, and after an event, Akira explodes again, but he's able to control his energy, and he destroys Neo Tokyo. So the rest of the manga, like basically after the events of the movie, is these characters now living in the ruins of Neo Tokyo. There's the rebels and the military trying to take down Akira's group. I think, what are they called? Like the Empire. Go figure.
They're building the a Tokyo. Death, they're building a giant metal thing in the sky called Soul.
That's
the
right.
Death Soul.
And here's a great part. So there's a group, Lady Miyoko's group, who's trying to take down Akira as a show of power. They want to give an example, and I wish this would have made it into the movie, because it's fucking awesome. But Tetsuo looks to Akira and says, "The moon, my lord." And Akira says, "The moon." And Tetsuo flies into space and puts a giant fucking crater into the moon, and it causes the tides to go crazy and the earth to basically be altered. And now people have to deal with that too.
Good.
Like, shit like that is the what's the difference? So you'll see it in that What's the Difference video. Yeah, it's just bigger. More detail and time is given to characters. More explanation is given. Like, they even give an explanation why Tetsuo, like, has a metal arm. Like, other than it looking cool. There's a purpose. There's a reason for that.
He needed an arm?
No, it's because the energy in his body is expanding past his vessel, so it's, like, grabbing onto whatever it can.
Ah, so it, like, sucks it in on
Yeah,
its
pretty
end.
Much, yeah.
Instead and, of him, like, thinking, like,
yeah,
I need an arm.
Ultimately, he explodes. And
does he explode in the manga?
Yeah, the way the movie ends is very similar to how the book ends. Except, gotcha. Yeah, and Akira and the Espers, they all gather together to stop Tetsuo once and for all. Because Tetsuo is ultimately a big bad. And that's something I like more in the movie than in the book. There isn't much sympathy given to Tetsuo in the book. He's pretty bad from the get-go. And in the movie, they're able to go back and show you, like, him as a boy.
Now he's bullied and stuff.
And his relationship with Kaneda. It shows that a little bit at the beginning, but in the end, they kind of rear away from that.
Yeah.
Whereas in the movie, in the
it
finale.
It kind of ends with it, so you
yeah,
feel bad.
You feel for Tetsuo in those moments, and that makes you care for him more. Whereas in the book, you really don't.
Like, good. Die.
In the movie, he has a relationship with Kaori, whether it's a romantic one or, like, a family one that's not really expressed.
Yeah. I always thought it was a sister.
Yeah, they kind of look the same, too. So it could be a sisterly thing.
So
could be
Kaneda and Kay, though. Here we are.
And, yeah, so you can gather sympathy for him because of Kaori and their relationship, seen from the beginning, and ultimately at the end, he accidentally kills her. In the book, it's very different. She doesn't come in until pretty much after the events of Neo Tokyo exploding, and Akira and his new group, they gather followers, and they use these followers to find sex slaves and pump them with pills to, like, follow them. But Kaori was recruited but doesn't take the pills and is basically Tetsuo's exclusive sex slave.
Oh, nice.
But he goes to her for emotional reasons when he's at his most vulnerable. And she gets killed.
I thought you were going to cry. I know. She dies.
I
found you.
She gets killed by one of the people who was trying to recruit her, or recruited her in the first place, because she was going to... she found out that the biker gang, Kaneda and the biker gang, were going to kill Tetsuo, and she was going to go, like, help them or, like, stop them. Something. And she gets shot and killed. So very different.
Yeah.
And ultimately, here's something fucking crazy. Tetsuo brings her back to life. He's able to, like, use his ability to bring her back to life. But she's like a vessel. Like, not a vessel, but she's blind, cold, and is in constant pain.
So, ironic.
So he brings her back to life, but she's suffering, and he kills her again. And in that moment, that's when he explodes.
Yeah.
And becomes a giant globulous baby.
A giant baby.
So, things like that. Kaneda is absent for a good portion of the book.
He's, like, the most iconic bit, like, beside the bike. Like, him walking up to the bike and his jacket. Like, that's probably the
this
most...
This jacket I'm
that
wearing?
That jacket you're wearing right there. That's probably the most iconic, like,
yeah,
bit of this movie.
That and screaming Kaneda and Tetsuo.
Yeah.
Kaneda! Tetsuo! Yeah, they're two different things. Like I said earlier, Lady... Lady Eboshi.
Not Lady Eboshi.
Is it Lady Miyoko?
Yes.
One of them.
Yes, yes. Lady Eboshi is from Princess Mononoke, the greatest anime film of all time. Continue.
And, yeah, so she is leading, like, the rebellion against Akira's army. So there's, like, that whole subplot that goes on. And Colonel Sekishima is, like, teaming with this that rat-looking dude and his private army, and they're all trying to just take down Akira and his forces. And it's this big fucking epic thing.
Yeah, there's a lot.
They don't
shit.
Get to see because it's not that it's too big for a movie, especially now, but at the time, especially it wasn't even finished yet. But it's just two different ways to take in that story.
Well, with the rumor mills going, isn't the director, but the creator of Akira, isn't he working on a follow-up?
He's
TV
working
series?
Up a follow-up series, yes. Yeah. A sequel series.
So I wonder if it'll have some of that in it. Or maybe,
I wonder.
Maybe it's already begun.
Whoa.
But with that being said, and the rumor mills and everything, are you ready to kind of work out the factory here? So on this portion of the show, this is where we usually take the film we just watched and we submit it to the movie factory. It's where we take the film we just watched and imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose it? Who would star? With animated films, usually what we like to do is imagine what it would look like if it were live action. Live, baby, live. For today's specific picture, Gus has a lot of the actors and actresses for these roles. He researched it. I was thinking more along the lines that we'd be discussing, like, what we would like to see in a live-action movie. So Gus is going to take over there who he would like to see. I do have a director in mind.
Okay.
I'm sure you have a director as well. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, let's go ahead and get into it. Now, recently, like I said, the rumor mills are going. We have the creator of Akira working on a follow-up TV show coming up, or an anime. And then recently, it was put on Taika Waititi's workload that he would be working on a Akira live-action movie. But it's been kind of pushed to the side now because he's working on Suicide Squad, and Guardians 3, and Thor Love and Thunder, I believe is what the new
Indeed.
One's called. I mean, Akira has been in production, live-action production, American Hell, for years. Wasn't it like Leo DiCaprio at one point, like the biggest advocate for it?
Yeah, he was going to be Kaneda, and he was going to produce the film. I think he's still producing the film, because he owns part of the rights to it, of all people.
It would be great if he just played Kaneda now. Like, he's just Leo, old Leo.
He's still playing teenagers.
I saw a picture the other day of Leo and Brad Pitt in, like, 1997, and, like, Leo and Brad Pitt now, and Claire was, like, old fiancé. Old fiancé was like, what happened to Leonardo DiCaprio? I'm like, he got more handsome. He
got more sexually attractive.
Yeah. He got handsome.
He got Kaneda.
Went from cute to experienced.
To revenant.
Yeah.
At one point, like, Robert Pattinson was and Kristen Stewart were looked at. Yeah, this is during the Twilight High. So it's been a while. It's been a minute. And it's still going to happen, hopefully, someday.
That's the thing, though. Like, the film, it's one thing. Like, that's my issue. The movie, the book literally takes place in Neo Tokyo.
Yeah.
So if you're going to make an Akira live action film and you're going to whitewash it in a sense, then don't call it Akira. Because most people that are going to see it want to see Akira. They don't want to see a play on it. It's like Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
They want to see Ghost in the Shell. But if it's going to be completely different, then don't make Ghost in the Shell. Call it something different. Like Chronicle. There's a movie called Chronicle a couple years back. It's like a found footage film. A lot of people probably didn't see it. That many people didn't see it. I don't think it was like very big because it wasn't like a huge budget. But it's kind of like a spiritual, like, live-action film of Akira. It's got a lot of the same ideas.
Other than that, like the hand cam stuff.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's a story that holds up, as in the runt who is like a nobody, and now he's got this powers.
He's got superpowers. I think he wears a cape.
He does. On a cape.
If you put on a fucking cape, you're badass. But that's an instance where like they made an American film and similar to Akira, but it's not Akira. That's fine. But if you're gonna make Akira, that's one thing I liked what Taika Waititi said. He said if he was gonna make it, he said he would probably go the route of getting unknown Japanese actors. Like, that's what he would aim for.
Yeah.
Because just because people are unknown, if the movie is good, then it should be marketable enough. I never really got that, though. Like, we need star power. It's like,
it sells a movie.
Everyone has to create a, star, like, you know?
Yeah. If I were doing what he's doing, I would, because for me, the movie could sell itself based on whoever's directing and the name of the movie itself.
Yeah. So Akira being a well-known product. Alita Battle Angel, yeah, which was, like, badass and had a bunch behind it, and it didn't do very well.
No, that's true. That's true. I would, what I would do is I would have two unknown actors, unknown actors mostly, play the younger roles and whatnot, and I'd have one, like, big name, maybe to play the Colonel, some big name play the Colonel, like John Cena.
John Cena. John, like John C. Reilly. Put him in there.
Hey, you're okay. That's good. or like Arnold Schwarzenegger as the Colonel.
Hi. I'm the sheriff.
Take away the chain of command.
Yeah, I could see it. What about Sergeant Slaughter?
Whoa. What is it? Disease.
So if it were to come out today, and Taika Waititi is obviously right now in the running, I don't know if that'll actually hold up. Who would you like to see direct an Akira film if it were to be made live action?
I would like to have it take a very serious route. And the director I picked, his films look beautiful. The cinematography, mm-hmm. He usually teams up with old Roger Deakins, baby.
Roger Deakins, what's he done?
Everything that looks good.
Star Wars.
Yep.
Yeah, fuck you.
Roger, what has Roger Deakins done?
Yeah.
He's a cinematographer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's done, like, The Village, and what did he do recently? Well, the director that I'm choosing is Denis Villeneuve. He did Blade Runner 2049.
Ah!
Which Roger Deakins did the cinematography for that one.
Oh, I spelled Denis Villeneuve.
Thusly. Frenchly.
It's Dennis.
Dennis Villeneuve.
Villeneuve.
But yeah, he did Blade Runner 2049. He did Arrival. He did Prisoners. Enemy. And he's working on that new Dune remake. Great director. Great visual storyteller. And he's handled, like, post-apocalyptic cyberpunk style with Blade Runner 2049. And he also did Sicario, by the by. And yeah, he can handle the action. And who do you got that's better?
No one. Mine might be a big pool. We've never used them before, though. And I was trying to think of someone who would be able to do that film. You hot there, guy? Finally taking off that jacket. Warm! I wanted someone who would do the movie justice, I feel, and also could sell the movie on their name alone, on the director's name, as opposed to selling it on the stars. That way you get in these lesser-known stars, and you're able to sell it mainly on the director who's directing the film.
Danny DeVito.
Yes. Jensen Ackles. But... with that being said, this film probably would never come out. And that is James Cameron. We've never used him before. Don't you think? Like
Big
think,
facts? Never
I don't
used
think
him
we've
before?
Never used James Cameron. I checked. Never used James Cameron on the show, which is a surprise and kind of a crime. Maybe it's because he releases one movie every 10 years. But think like historian like Aliens and think of like Avatar and like those space like – the space epics and the lasers and the fighting and the wars.
Like Avatar 2.
Avatar 2 and 3 and 4 and maybe 5. Maybe all of them. But, yeah, like, think about that, like, his style and, like, how his direction is impeccable. Like, it's great. And I think that he would be able to bring that story to life and it would sell on his name alone. You could bring in lesser-known actors and actresses to play the roles, but the fact that it's a James Cameron film, and, I mean, think, like, a live-action Akira movie in, like, breathtaking 3D, like IMAX 3D, and you're like, I'm seeing a big baby. You'd be like Garth, like having a good time.
Yeah, it could be so.
It's sucking my will to live.
And he's dipped his toe in that anime world with, or with, in that manga world.
He helped with Alita, didn't
yeah,
he?
He yeah. produced Alita Battle Angel.
But this
yeah.
is, I want him directing it.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't know he helped with Alita until, like, well after it came out.
Because
it wasn't
Alita.
Like, James Cameron presents Alita Battle Angel. Like, if they should have probably added that on.
Maybe they did, you just weren't looking. Small print.
Yeah, they needed, like, big print. Like Goonies, like Steven Spielberg presents the Goonies.
Yeah,
a Chris Columbus film. I'm like, oh,
it's
Chris
Richard
Columbus.
Donner film.
Written by Chris Columbus.
Yes,
rather. But yeah,
chew your gum.
Sorry, I wish I had gum. But yeah, no, I thought James Cameron would do us proud.
Uh-huh.
You know, fight Jim's Cameron.
Jim's Cameron.
Jim's
I'll
Cameron.
Fight Jim's Cameron with Dennis's Cameron.
You're dumb. You're a fool.
An old man and a fool.
Head.
This is going to be like last week. You're like, or 2 weeks ago. You're like, we never use this person. It'd be great. And we flip for it and we don't get him.
Yeah. Heads, Denis Villeneuve. Or tails, James Cameron.
Jim Cameron.
Jim Tails.
I told you.
There it is. All right. It's True Lies 2. What? So with that being said, composer, did you have a composer in mind?
I did.
Okay, let me hear yours, because I really didn't
yeah.
have one in mind.
This
the music's so good.
That's it. Like this is one of my favorite scores.
It's so simple. Like,
yeah,
that's just so great about
it. It's a lot of my favorite parts of it are, a lot of the word like mouth noise, like da 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 da.
Yeah, or like the ding ding. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, a lot of it's just chimes or
sticks
or what is it? I don't know the name of the instrument, but it's like bamboo shoots. But it's like a xylophone.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 booga, 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 boom.
Yeah,
boom.
It's yeah, the music's great.
Yeah, and it's very simple, masterfully done. But even one of the tracks, I can't remember what the name of it is, but it's the clown's theme. The biker gang, the clowns. It's like, just mouth noises. So, that being said, I went with the composers for another one of my favorite scores from Swiss Army Man, Andy Hull and Robert McDowell. Have you seen Swiss Army Man yet?
Parts. I saw when he revs his ass up and makes him rides him like a ski boat.
And that movie did similar things in that most of it is done with mouth noises. Andy Hull.
Hull.
And Robert McDowell. Wa 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 na 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 na.
Yeah, I've heard that part.
Yeah.
I've heard that. That's in the commercial,
done,
I think.
A lot of it's done with the noise, or mouth.
I'm fine with
the
that.
Noise. It's done with the noise.
It's done with the mouth, the noise. Let's cast John Williams. Get him in there. Duel of Fates. Do it again.
Yeah, let's throw that shit in everything.
Let's do Duel of Fates. Get Bane's theme in there.
And you do it with your mouth.
Yeah. Bane's theme. What if? This is what I wanted to do on this factory. I wanted to talk about like what I would like to see. What if they did a, like what Hans Zimmer did for Bane's theme and like asked people to go online and like record lines and like do that, like the Candida, like I say ya, and like do that for the theme would be awesome.
Be epic.
Yes.
IMAX speakers exploding.
That's what I would like to see, is like something like what Hans Zimmer did for Bane's theme, like ask people just do this for free.
That's please. Part of the poster of Akira, like the what is it? The tagline. That's the tagline. Neo Tokyo is about to explode.
Whoa.
Be like your pants are about to explode.
It's about to go down. Yeah, no, I'm fine with your pick for old Andy Hull and Robert McDowell. So you had some actors in mind.
Indeed.
Why don't
just
you go
a few.
Yeah, who tell me the character and the actor and tell me why, because I'm unfamiliar with this part. If this is getting made, I want it to be literally like a Lion King shot for shot remake. Like, I want it to be called Akira but be Lion King. That's what I want.
I sought out the Colonel, Kaneda, and Tetsuo. All
right. Colonel, Kaneda, Tetsuo. Gotcha.
Yep.
Colonel.
Colonel. And yeah, I was trying to stay purist. I wasn't going to whitewash it or anything like that. I
Oh
tried to
no.
stick with Japanese,
Like you
not
said,
Asian actors.
takes place in Neo Tokyo, not
Yeah.
Manhattan.
Neo Manhattan.
Yeah.
That's where the sequel,
That's what.
that's where the American remake's gonna take
It's
place.
going to take place in Dino-hattan.
Oh God, I might
What have
depart.
I done? Hayden Christensen stars.
But for the Colonel, I went with one of my favorite Japanese actors, Ken Watanabe.
I know this name.
Ken Watanabe. He's in The Last Samurai. He's in Inception. He's in Godzilla. Let them
Oh,
fight.
yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I know him.
Yeah.
I was like, I know this name. And when you said, Inception, I'm like, oh, he's the like rich one of the rich
Yeah.
guys. He's like paying them or something.
He's paying them for Inception.
Yeah.
Yes. Ken Watanabe. And yeah, wonderful actor. Need I say more? Go check out his work.
Yeah.
And yeah, he's my.
They'll be like, Tatsuo has escaped. And he's like, let them fight.
And then my Kaneda, I went with an actor. I've only seen him in one film, but that's what I wanted to go with, was relatively younger
Jimmy
actors.
Wang Yang?
Yeah. His name is Win Morisaki. He was in Ready Player One.
For Tatsuo Kaneda.
Kaneda. Win
Win Morisaki.
Morisaki. He was in Ready Player One. He's actually a singer. That's where he got his start. Now he's been transitioning into acting for some time now. But he was in Ready Player One. He played the badass Daito, who's like a ninja character who ultimately turns into a fucking Gundam.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I have not seen Ready Player One yet, because I want to piss off your roommate.
Yeah, he turns into a Gundam and fights Mechagodzilla. Like,
Christ.
yeah, where have you been? And anyway, yeah, he's an awesome action star, or he can be an awesome action star. He's really good in Ready Player One, which is home by Steven Spielberg. And if you look at his filmography, he's been in quite a bit. But like, I think he could be a star. So I picked him as my Kaneda. And what do you think of that?
I'm fine with that. Yeah, like I said, I haven't seen him in anything, but like I said, I just want unknowns. Like I could take it. If I had an Akira live action movie and I did not know any of the actors, I'd be happy.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that.
And then my Tetsuo is a little, not older, a little older, especially because they're supposed to be portraying 15-year-olds.
Like Funaki.
Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but Osric Chu or Chow,
Why do I know this name?
because he's Kevin in Supernatural. Kevin
Mmm,
Tran.
that's why I've seen his name so many times.
Yeah, he's Kevin Tran, Supernatural, and
He's a prophet, a lord.
yeah,
He died, didn't
he did.
he?
He's prominent throughout, or for f several seasons of that show.
I was gonna say, like, if he's older, is he small enough? He's pretty small.
Yeah,
He's like scrawny.
he still looks young too, because he was even in the. Yeah, I know you haven't seen it, but spoiler, he's in the latest season too.
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah, and because no one's ever really gone.
I guess. Not in Supernatural, that's the issue.
Yeah, and
Like, he's God now. Like,
yeah,
what?
pretty much. But because he's in this kind of a show, if you haven't watched Supernatural, shame on you. But
If you haven't watched Supernatural,
I'm sorry. He's able to express like all levels of emotions and situations, much like Kaneda, or not Kaneda, Tetsuo does
Yeah.
in this movie. You get the sad moments, the happier moments, but especially the distraught and angry moments.
You get those sad tissues and those happy tissues.
Yeah. And I really liked him in that show, and especially just seeing a different side of him in the latest season, Supernatural, spoilers. But he's more on the villain side of things. Yeah.
He's a ghost.
He's Ghost
He's a
Man.
ghost, Murph.
You need to catch up.
I'm
You're like
two.
5 seasons
Nah,
behind.
I'm like two seasons. Three or two or three.
Well, you know what you're doing tomorrow.
The devil was the president last I checked.
Jesus. So much
In
has
that
happened.
show.
No,
And then they
that was like two,
killed
that was
him.
two seasons ago.
He had a baby. He had a baby. Oh, there was like Rambo episode. I don't know. There's a lot ha a
Yeah, a
lot
lot has
of
happened.
I'm like, how this should be a much bigger season if he like the devil's the president and they just like kill him or get him out really quick. I'm
Don't
like
worry.
that.
He comes back.
Okay.
But yeah, he.
Here we are, talking about Supernatural.
Kevin from Supernatural is my Tetsuo.
I'm fine with that.
Osric Chan Chow.
Good old Akira, 1988. Taika Waititi is in talks to possibly helm a real live action film. But if Gus and I were to make it today, we would like to see James Cameron directing it. Andy Hole and Robert McDowell would be composing it. Our Colonel would be played by Ken Watanabe. Kaneda, played by Win Morisaki, and Ostrich Chow. Played by would be Tetsuo.
Leslie Chow. And not to put a little damper on your dry undies, but
already wet.
You flipped the coin, correct?
I did.
For director.
I did.
It was Tails, correct?
Yes.
And you said it was Denis Villeneuve was Tails.
I'm sorry, but
did you switch it up
on
me?
Yeah, you're actually going to have to go back and check that one.
No.
It's because you gave director first, so I wrote director first. Yeah, anytime, whoever goes first.
I'm always Tails.
Yeah, I usually give you Tails, but today you gave me your director first, so I actually flipped them. So yeah, no, you can check the tape, though, but I'll be right.
And when you're right, you're right.
And you're always right.
Except for when you're wrong.
All right, we save them. But how?
There's your Spaceballs reference. And where would Jimmy Stewart? Colonel.
Hey, no, no.
He'd be
Masaru or the scientist. He'd be the scientist saying, well, this doesn't make any goddamn sense. This is saying the universe is starting all again. I'm in it. So,
What if he's like, hey, you're a cretin.
You're a cretin. You weirdo.
What if he's rolling around like in Rear Window, but he's Masaru?
Yeah. And then he's like, you know what's going to happen to you, Tetsuo? You're going to die. That's what's going to happen. You're going to die.
That's good stuff.
We're in Neo, Indiana, PA. That's where we're at right now. I started World War III. I was a war hero.
I'm going to bunker down in my museum.
Yeah, Jimmy Stewart Museum in Indiana, PA. Now, Neo, Indiana, PA. The bomb went off. That was the only thing that was left. College was gone. Everything's gone.
It was not Olympic Stadium.
Not Jim Stewart's Museum. That's where they keep Akira.
One last factoid, because this is very coincidental. This movie came out in 1988. Takes place, though, 31 years in the future, 2019. Here we are.
Yes.
But also, the big part of the story, and this was even written before 1988, so in 1982, that the 2020 Olympic Games would take place in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And look at history now.
2020 Olympics.
It comes out next year.
So I tell you, keep an eye on that Olympic Stadium, kids.
Yeah, watch out for guys in capes.
Guys in red capes and white tank tops. They fuck.
Stay away.
Do you have any questions before we go?
If you had psychic powers like Tetsuo, what would you do with them? What's the first thing you would do?
Jerk off. What?
Jerk off without using hands.
How tough are you? I jerked off today. So? Without any hands. That's a SpongeBob reference that didn't need made.
You were pretty quick to say jerking off.
First thing he did was grab a glass of water.
He didn't even know it.
Yeah, that's like the little boy from the end of Last Jedi who grabs a broom. he does. He just kind of whoop, grabs the broom.
Broom kid.
Broom guy. First thing I would do, that's the thing I always think of. I was telling my friends this the other day. I was like, you guys ever think like, oh man, I wish I had superpowers, but God, would it be boring? Like, you could do all this cool stuff, but like shit in movies, like you wouldn't be able to like stop crime like they do in the movies. Like, it just wouldn't go down that way.
Maybe you are the crime.
Could be. But I have a moral compass.
Oh.
I would like fly to a Steeler game and just hover, watch the game.
They'd be like, look, he's got a cape.
Just do what he says. I would probably try to fly if I could. That'd be, and I'm afraid of heights, but I would try probably try that, because if I could beat the traffic, I would.
Yeah, you're like, I'd take my fiance to work. That's
probably. I'd drop her off. Drop her off on the helipad. Here you go.
There you go, ma'am.
But, like, I do, like, I'd wear a mask when I did it so people wouldn't know. And instead of doing, like, a Batman where my voice goes really deep so no one knows I'm a billionaire, because I'm not, I would do the Jimmy Stewart Billy. Here you go, ma'am. Everyone all right in here? I'm just making sure. I'm off to save the day.
Jimmy Stewart resurrected.
Jim on the back, it would say, and then be a big Superman S, but yeah. But with Jimmy Stewart's face from Vertigo in the background.
On your planet, this is an S. On mine, it means Stewart.
Yeah. I remember, we said in the Men in Black one, Jimmy Stewart didn't die, he just went home.
Yes, sir. And, you know, someday we ought to be able to.
Exactly, because it's already begun. Anyways, that is the show, everyone. I broke the pen. Fuck!
What have I done?
Anyways, everyone, that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out over on Audioboom. If you didn't, that is our primary source. That is where we handle all our podcasting services. That's where we upload it first. It has all the links to our social media. It kind of acts as our website. And then we upload it to Audioboom, and it kicks it out to things like Spotify and iTunes and Google Play. And anywhere else you find your podcasts, we're there. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at The Bros Movie Pod. That's where we're going to be tweeting, you know, what we're going to be watching, what we watched in the past, clips, memes that Gus makes, etc. And what sometimes we'll do polls and posts and see what you guys think we should watch. You can also find us on Facebook.
Go to Facebook and type in The Brothers Movie Factory, and you will find us.
You're talking like that. I don't
so
like
one,
it.
It's one day of the year. And, you give us a like, give us a share if you feel like it. And
you just do it.
Yeah. You Shia LaBeouf it. Yeah. You just do it.
Always.
And that's where we post links to everything Ben mentioned before, as well as what we're watching each and every week. And I like to post little meme poos along the way. Meme peepees?
Meme peepees in everyone's poopers.
On Facebook pooper.
Wait, what?
Face pooper.
But yes, that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. So you will catch us next week. So until then, brothers.
That's Mr. Brother to you.
Mr. Punk. Brother. Mr. Brother. Mr. Brother Brothers.
Brothers.
Mr. Brothers.
Kaneda. Goodbye, all for one, United States of Smash.
That was actually perfectly worded and timed.
Believe it was.
And that.
Twas, and that, and that, and that, and that, and that.
They'd be like, hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Brothers Movie Factory.
Hello.
That's Mr. Ooh. What are we waiting for?
Beer.
Can you...
Beer.
Can you recite the lines Rocky says when Mick dies?
Oh, God!
Bear.
There's like two dying words you can say. I love
Bear. Air.
Don't tell Harry.
And when you come back, you have to go, hair. Hair!
You're saying hair?
Air.
I know, but it sounds like you're saying hair.
He does have nice hair.